Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And if you missed the first hour, you've got to catch it. You will find out prophetically what's happening in the Middle East. How does that apply to us, the church? And you'll also even hear about the Brownsville Revival, some things that happen, and it will encourage you and remind you and want you to stay connected. Joining me in the Extra Hour is the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, Pat. And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to VFN Radio. We'll give a shout out to Vicky this morning. Hello, Nicole, up in Virginia. Give a shout out also to our Texas listeners out there. Good morning, Barbara. And good morning, Jordan. Jordan, that was an amazing blanket that you made. Amazing.
A quilt.
Give a shout out this morning to Lakeland. Good morning, Cindy. Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Brianna. Good afternoon. Good evening. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Hey, hey, hey. You know, if you missed that first hour, you got to catch it because you could find out what's actually taking place in the Middle East. We're going to move on in this extra hour, but make sure, you know, you have like English 101, Spanish 101, you know, whatever, you know. You need Muslim Brotherhood 101. You got to find out, you know, the basic, what is the Muslim Brotherhood, and how did our president and his leaders help empower the Muslim Brotherhood, and how are they connected to Hamas, and were these the guys that were chunking missiles, 8,000 missiles since 2001 into Israel, and what's a caliphate? And you can find that out in the first hour and realize that the goal of Islam is for the whole world to be under a caliphate, to be under Islamic rule, and which means that the Quran would be the law, and which definitely contradicts the U.S. Constitution, because if it says that the Constitution is not the law, and it said the Quran would be the law, so that's not going to work. That wouldn't work, and to be able to maintain America's freedom. I don't know. You know, do you know that there's a test that under American citizenship? I'm going to give you guys a test this morning. You're going to have a test, John, Pat, you're going to have a test before the whole world.
Oh, no.
If you don't pass this test, you can no longer be an American citizen, because this is the citizenship test that's given to America, to people who want to become a citizen. Okay? We won't be able to ask them all, but we'll ask a few, and then we'll ask them over a period of time. We're going to talk about, you know, what's the original tent of America? What was, see, this is what's happening is, we've missed the original tent of our country. What was our founding fathers' purpose? What did they want? And they wanted, first of all, the government not to mess with religion, for us to be able to freely worship God, of course, the First Amendment and all, but also that it was not going to be a theocracy where some religion was going to be over America, but it was going to be a government that allowed us to worship God freely. And so when you you have to be loyal to the U.S. Constitution when you come to America. And you want to be a citizen, by the way. And if you're here, you're supposed to be loyal to the Constitution. Our president, all the way down to our military, Congress, Senate, governors, whoever, they have to pick a pledge that they pledge to defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. So this Constitution is very, very important. And what we have is people not passing this very first part of the test, you know, which has said, okay, good, you don't want to be in America. That's okay, that's fine. And the first question is, John, this is to you. What is the supreme law of the land, John?
The supreme law of the land. It's the Constitution.
Yes, the very first question. Isn't that wild? The very first question.
Wow.
Of the citizenship, how to become a citizen, should clarify things that if you want a caliphate in America, you don't belong here, because the supreme law of the land is the U.S. Constitution. The reason why they want to do away with the Constitution, listen, they want to do away with the supreme law of the land. That's the very first question, America. That's the very first question. And so many of us, you know, are failing that test because We're just thinking it's not that relevant. It's like it's not only relevant, it's the supreme law of the land.
Wow.
Somebody says, oh, it's just outdated. It is the supreme law of the land.
Period.
Period. So that's the first question. So you got that right. So far, you can stay in America, but I'll let you know when you're finished. This next question is directed to Pat. Pat,
mm-hmm.
Number two, what does the Constitution do? What does the Constitution do?
Looking at me.
I'm not in this part.
He's not on for this segment.
Look at this, all right.
Well, it sets up our government.
Mm-hmm.
It defines the government, and it protects our basic rights. Those three things. And so if you want to know why is there a executive branch, why is there a legislature branch, why is there a judiciary branch? Because it says so in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a balance of powers. Why do presidents only, well, I'm not going to tell you other future questions. So yeah, it does our rights, but also sets up the government and it defines the government.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are wanting to change our Constitution, they want to change the definition of government.
All right.
Mm-hmm. See what they're doing? So you say you can't do that. You know, you can't change the Constitution and think you're going to have the same form of government.
Doesn't work.
Because it's defined in it. It's very good. You can stay in America, even though you're a Saints fan. John, we're going to just do 5 today. John, number three.
There's more.
Oh, there's 100 questions. We're going to ask this.
100?
We want all of our, I know, you still not, you have to get your
I still may be deported.
Yeah, you're going to be deported. We're going to self-deport. Right. Self-deport. That was a wrong statement. Okay. The idea of self-government is in John, this is you. The idea of self-government is in the first three words of the Constitution. What are these three words?
Repeat the question again.
John, this one's to you. The idea of self-government is in the first three words of the Constitution. John, what are these three words?
We the people.
Awesome! Very good! Hey! We the people, in order to form, right? So it's like that's a self-government. That's why we have to participate in it. And it'll be tomorrow, but if we do today, understand that people did not want to self-govern. That's why they wanted a king. They didn't want somebody to fight their battles for them. And the Constitution set up where you're going to have to fight your own battles. You're going to have to do the hard work in your life. You know, government's not going to sweep into the rescue. But if you start turning to government, then you're going to redefine it. And it's no longer we the people, but it's we the government. So if you're becoming a citizen, if you just took the citizenship test and you were Mexican or you were Chinese or you were, I don't know, Iraqi or something, you're coming to America, you're going to have to pass this test to be a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the next one. This will go to John, right?
I just did.
Okay, question number four. Pat, what is an amendment? What is an amendment?
At the Bill of Rights.
Is everything packed?
Well, no. I mean, I thought it's the
No, think about the word. Think about the word here.
Right to bear arms.
But what is an amendment?
Something they added to it.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, you can unpack your things. It's a change or an addition. It's a change or addition. So, the Constitution was written, and then they made amendments to the Constitution. So the things that we're going to talk about probably in the future of this part of the test is our amendments that were added to the Constitution. So the Constitution was written, and then they made changes to the Constitution, which that's one thing that we can do. We can change things. If the people operate in the form of representative government the way we're supposed to, that if we do what it says and how to make changes, we can make changes to. And a lot of changes... Not a lot. There's been a specific amount of changes that have been made, but it means a change to the Constitution or an addition to the Constitution. And last but not least for today, the original 10 of America. I mean, we have so many people, talking about, judging people who are wanting to come to our country. First of all, we all came here from somewhere else.
That's right.
As Christians, we should be wide open in our arms, welcoming the alien and making sure they have food and health care or whatever. We don't shun anybody as a Christian, but we do say, hey, To be able to sustain this country, you need to be loyal to our Constitution. That's our supreme law. If mm-hmm. you come here and you're not loyal to, if you're an enemy mm-hmm. of a domestic enemy or a foreign enemy of our Constitution, sorry, bro, we won't blend together.
That's right.
This is our operating system, and you'll come against it. John, right?
Mm-hmm.
John. Well, he was quick on that one. This is our fifth and final question for today. What do you call the first 10 amendments, the 10 changes, the 10 additions to the Constitution?
Come on.
Bill of Rights.
Yeah, the Bill of Rights. Oh, that's so wonderful. You did an excellent, excellent job.
You gave him all the easy ones.
Oh, my goodness. Well, think about it. You know, isn't that amazing, though, that most people don't understand that have been born in America, that people that come to America, they have to answer this test. They have to mm-hmm. answer enough questions on this test to pass it to become an American citizen. But if you look at the people that that are coming to America, you would say, did you really take this test?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's not the fact people say, I think we should just take all these people that have come to America illegally or whatever, you know, that just make them citizens. Well, no, you first need to teach them these principles, and they need to be able to know them, and then they can pass, if they pass the test,
mm-hmm.
and if they agree to be loyal to the Constitution,
right,
and to defend it from enemies foreign and domestic, then come on in. You know,
come on in.
Let's all, we need help. We need, especially in America, because Americans don't want to do a lot of the work. And so, you know, as Christians, we can't buy on to some conservative or liberal viewpoint about the foreigner. As mm-hmm. foreigners, we're thinking about, you know, blessed is he who takes care of the alien, who makes sure there's enough food for the passerby. You know, that God watches how we treat the poor, or treat people who are not part of your community, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to know. So we're going to be taking, this is original tent of America, and we're going to be taking this test from time to time just to find out. And I think it's going to encourage you, and you'll be able to catch all the segments together. I'm sure they'll be all referenced to each other on the VFN Torch. But there's 100 questions. And if you didn't pass these, you need to study this test to you know, say, you know what, I want to be a good American before I start criticizing other people who I said they don't need to be American. I didn't even know.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. It's sort of like the people that are, you know, fighting about having the Ten Commandments taken out of the courtroom, and they don't even know what the Ten Commandments are.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
Wow. Yeah, it's just totally, totally crazy. I don't know. You know, also, I want to kind of just shift a little bit. In December 31st, January 1st or 2nd, this fiscal cliff is coming. And mm-hmm. we've been talking about the cliff before anybody was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
We even have a little picture of a ship going off of a cliff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our leadership gatherings that we had when we were showing that. And
mm-hmm.
and Pat Robinson, the founder of CBN, also was talking about it. He heard it. But he heard it, what we heard as well. And it was like, okay, we're all hearing this.
Mm-hmm.
And they could decide not to do anything. I mean, they're going to look busy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to look like you intentionally did nothing,
mm-hmm.
because you want to be able to blame it on someone. And don't worry about it. There's enough gullible people.
Yeah, right.
It's like 44 days left. It's like, come on now.
Let me waken you. If you're listening right now, you probably, you're yourself or somebody that you know that does not have a job right now, and they're mm-hmm. receiving unemployment that's sustaining them and their family during this time. Let me tell you what's going to happen. If they do not deal with this, and this thing hits, probably that day, unemployment will stop.
Mm-hmm.
You will not get that check in the mail.
Right.
Military expenses across like 7% or something across the board. There's a lot of things that are happening. They'll just be whacked and cut.
Right.
And, you know, politically speaking, and empowering is to be on the president's side, because it would benefit him. It would benefit him in the long run to do nothing. And then all of a sudden the Bush tax cuts become the Obama tax cuts, because then what we lost through the fiscal cliff, he comes to the rescue and he begins to issue them out under his administration. And because everything gets cut across the board, then all of a sudden he begins it to what was just taken away by his lack of participation. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden he gives them out, because he'll come back in and
fix it. Sure.
Yeah, he would come back in and fix it, and he'll give, you know, the middle class you know, per it depends. They say that you could take all the money from all the wealthy people in America, and you can only pay for a like 30 days or something of the American debt. It was going to require the middle class to be taxed to be able to pay for what has to be paid for. But I believe, too, they start charging in January 1st of 2013 for the healthcare plan that won't kick in until January 2014. I think they're going to already start taking money out of your... There'll be a new thing on your 1040 form that'll have about insurance or something on there, and you'll pay one way or the other. You know, if you aren't having it by your employer, you'll have to get it some other way, and you'll pay out of your taxes. You'll declare it on your tax form. Remember, wow. You can go back and you can listen to a VFN Torch. You'll hear us speaking very specifically before all this happened, when they were hiring like 16,000 IRS agents. It's like 3,300 counties or, you know, precincts or whatever, I forget what we call them, parishes in America, like 3,300 or something. And there's like enough counties. There's enough IRS agents now to have like three in every county.
Wow.
Mm. In every single county.
Amazing.
Wow.
And they're going to start collecting not only taxes, because that's one way that Reagan began to balance the budget. He just went to collect the money that was owed. And and they began to audit a lot of people, and there's a lot of people just wasn't paying. Mm-hmm. But then these 16 plus thousand IRS agents are going to begin to, you know, look at your insurance and measure your taxed. It's a tax. It's insurance. It's a tax. So they're going to be able to treat it under the commerce law just like they do everything else.
Mm.
If you don't pay your tax, your healthcare tax,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, you're going to suffer the same thing that you would suffer for any other tax.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm.
And I do believe this. I kind of sense some, you know, the present leadership to me is easy to understand. What they do is when they want a 5, they'll throw a 10 in your face. And the people are very predictable when they'll come back and say, okay, we'll do a 5 now. Huh. And they buy into the 5, not realizing it was a 5 that they wanted all along.
Right.
But it's called child psychology, right?
Yeah.
Supposedly. And when they're trying to bring the healthcare system in, and they changed the argument overnight, and everybody fell for it, including the church fell for it, when all of a sudden they started talking about, you know, forcing the Catholic social services to purchase healthcare that got birth control.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to doing that, the argument was, you know, the government does not be providing healthcare. But they changed the argument in one day. They changed the argument and put the Catholic Church on the defensive about something they said that didn't need to exist. And now they're arguing as if it did exist. And they are arguing to the fact that they don't believe that they have the right to tell a church, which you don't constitutionally, to purchase birth control insurance that would provide birth control abortion for your people. But it's like, you know, once you got defensive and once you started getting into the argument, it's done past.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll never forget that shift. The second they changed the argument, and they had the girl testify before Congress, and they it's just basic things that you learn at Harvard, you know, how to direct people and debate an issue and how to get them to buy in. And it's like, we're not paying attention to anything. So it was in one day, America bought in when they started being defensive over something that didn't exist, but started arguing as if it was, and then it became.
Mm-hmm.
It was totally amazing. And then it came out as a tax, thanks to Judge Roberts. And what he did was he put it before the American people. When he called it a tax, what God did through that was lay it out before us and said, okay, do you really want government to do this? Is this what you want? And this is the form of government you want? And do you want the government to be your healer? Is that what you want? Mm-hmm. And when Judge Roberts made that vote to call it a tax, then we could have voted this whole thing out in November because it's a tax. It got approved through the judicial branch of government, which is constitutionally there for that reason.
Right.
And America decided they wanted this tax. They wanted to be taxed. And guess what? They're going to be faithful to do that. And so here we are today. This fiscal cliff's coming around the corner. And it would be beneficial, it really would, for them to do nothing. And then to come in for the rescue, something like Hillary Clinton came into the rescue of the Middle East, and start giving, dealing them out under the Obama administration, which would be wise if I would do the same thing. I would, you know, I would want to restructure them under my leadership as president. That's what you do. But he would obviously not give any tax cuts to the wealthy, and not because that's not wise, but just because it just pleases the base of the voters, because those are the ones that create the jobs. You know, anybody that's making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year, they're not hiring you. And they're not going to be able to split that with you and start a business. And it's the people that have, you know, $250,000 or more that, you know, get into business adventures and start hiring a few people up and have a small business and give you a job.
Right.
But very few people, they say 3% of America hires the other 97%. That means 97% might not even understand how it works. And if we remove the job creators, if we remove the job creators, then it's going to be bad. And you're going to find government creating jobs at that point. You're going to find government, you know, like the WPR or whatever it was called during FDR's time, and you know, the Workers Party, whatever, where the government began to pay people to do busy work. Build roads and bridges and all that. And they said it would have been cheaper for the government, and they would have got more out of it if they just gave the money to the people.
Right.
But the people would have rather worked for it. But times have changed, hasn't it?
They sure have changed. But you know what? It's amazing how things have changed, but how things have still remained the same. You can just look back at history and see, haven't we been down this road before? Haven't we not seen what has happened when government takes over and starts supplying everything?
Exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, we need to pray that God's will come to pass. And the truth is, a lot of the church is serving money rather than serving God. They're serving their jobs. And God says you can't do it both. You got to make up your mind. And if it takes that for the church to wake up, you know, whatever it takes for the church to wake up and to be loyal to God and get back into the harvest field, and for the third great awakening to take place in America, whatever it takes to wake up the church, you know, so be it.
Right.
I know that David Wilkerson, who's gone to be with the Lord right now, when he described what's about to come to America, he talks about it's going to knock the breath out of you. He says even the most righteous man, which wouldn't be any of us, is going to get the breath knocked out of him. It's going to take a while to regain your composure. You know, I've been carrying that word inside of me. I could feel that word and kind of, you know, you brace yourself. If you know you're fixing to be punched, you can brace yourself for it. And if you haven't heard brace yourself, you need to go to the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch and just type in brace, B-R-A-C-E, brace yourself, because, you know, it's coming. Yeah. It's coming. And this delay that's taking place, this lingering, just seems like the slingshot's getting pulled back further and further and further. And my goodness. So we're like 44 days away. Which will just, think about it, you know, once Christmas is here, you're like 5 days away from this thing hitting. And everybody just went out and spent like $55 billion on Christmas gifts and not understanding it's like up to the last second. You know, up to the it reminds me of what, you know, what they did when, up to the last second when the hand appeared and wrote on the wall, you know, it says you've been weighed in the balance and felt left wanting. They were partying to the last minute.
Last minute, $1 billion alone on online sales, and today is Cyber Monday.
Right. And even though I can't believe they call it Black Friday, you know, but I think it represents, you know, that they've been operating in the red all year, and that this takes them in the black. It's how much money they sell during that time, but it also can have a double meaning to it, because if your economy is about to crash. I don't know, how many unemployed people are there? There's 23 million or?
I think there's 23 million.
23 million people are getting a check, possibly, every week or every other week or whatever from the government unemployment, because when they were employed, they were paying unemployment. And now they're getting it back. But now the government's funded it to last longer. And some people have been on unemployment for, I guess, ever since Bush. Some people have been on that long, I believe.
Yeah, I think they give extensions, but then after a while, they're on their own.
Yeah. And so imagine now, in 44 days, they will not have that check coming. Mm-hmm. 23 million people.
Right.
23 million. And what happened in Hurricane Sandy hit when people weren't getting their gas?
They were ruthless. Ruthless, who just were not getting gas, pulling out knives, pulling out guns, you know. And in fact, even recently, local news says that neighbors are banding together in Staten Island because the looters, not people coming into the neighborhood because there's security coming into the neighborhood, their own neighbors that are just as down and out are robbing from each other. And so you have this gentleman, an older gentleman, who's taking shifts, you know, bless his heart, protecting his house and the neighbor's house from anyone that's trying to come in and take anything. It's like, this is not good.
And so, you know, the second people don't have, since everybody's living as if tomorrow will be there financially, that means they're not storing up their acorns. They don't have any acorns for tomorrow. But their government or whoever's bringing them acorns, you know, using an analogy of a squirrel. And so it's going to be tough. I mean, they're just going to be shocked. And some of the words that we get from Preparing for the Perfect Storm by John Paul Jackson's, you know, you can get to that on the VFN Torch. At the very top on the menu is Preparing for the Perfect Storm, talking about a prophecy about things that have happened, are happening, and will happen. And one of them is that people will begin to go to wealthy neighborhoods and they will rob those neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will rob those houses and the people that have.
Right.
And just people, you know, when people, they don't know what they'll do until they don't have. And if we're not paying attention, it doesn't seem like anybody's paying attention. I mean, I'm watching the news clips for this Thanksgiving Day shopping day where they are pounding this guy with their fists in the line. And two guys are just beating him up in front of the other people. The other people didn't want to lose their place in line. They stayed in line. Wow. And they're beating this guy up. These women started beating each other. Some other guy was in the middle of the line saying, "I'll pull my knife out and I'll stab every one of you." And this, like, aren't you embarrassed? I mean, you're with these, you're gonna shop beside these people. And it's like this lust, there's so much lust and greed and you know, just what I think about Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. You know how they just, despite all the sin, they're just pressing in, and all the stuff's happening, and people just want what they want. And there was no consideration, period. And it's like, we're there. Remember last year, and we can't find that clip. Hopefully we can find that clip. We might have that clip. Got to get with Chris to find out. But the guy stands in line for all these hours because he wanted these particular basketball shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And in front of everybody, he took his tongue and he licked that shoe from the heel to the top. And he goes, "That's what we do." And he wasn't even ashamed of it. He's made it his gods. What he's made it, it's an idol to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he took his tongue and he licked it on camera. Mm. Now this country was founded, as you go back, the VFN Torch and the original tent of America about George Washington, that they fought a war with no shoes to be able to give us the freedom. And today we're actually standing in line and beating each other and licking the bottom of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've come so far from the original intent of this country. We'll be right back in a moment.
What if we began to make progress? Instead of digression that's taking place, that George Barna reports about the statistical decline, the massive exodus of the young people in what we call the traditional expression of the church. What if things turned around? We are dropping the ball, Peter Wagner says. We are dropping the ball, Steve Hill says. As a matter of fact, listen to him. I'll be right back.
Because we're not making progress.
I have some very strong opinions about that.
Yeah.
And what we see in America, as you've just said, Steve, can be very discouraging. I mean, we have dropped the ball terribly here in this country. In the last century, we didn't drop the ball.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel was spreading.
Mm-hmm.
There were people were strong in the Lord. There were people who were going to church. There were people who wanted to see the kingdom of God come. Now that we've gone into the 21st century, we've dropped the ball. But now what God has done is he's tossed the ball to some other countries,
mm-hmm.
like China.
Okay.
I mean, they're China, I used to think until last week that China had the greatest church growth in the world. It did have the greatest harvest of souls from 1976 after the Cultural Revolution with the rural underground church, the greatest national harvest of souls in all history.
Yeah.
And I believe there are about 140 million Christians in China now, which would be 10% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think India was second, that India was about there, but not quite there. Last week, I was with some Indian leaders who told me, even though I insisted, I cross-examined them, I almost told them they were wrong. They wouldn't back down. India is 25% Christian now.
Mm-hmm.
That is an amazing, amazing statistic.
You think about that. You know, it's hard for us, as much pride as we've had in America, to realize that America has not been the greatest advancement of the church. It's China.
Mm-hmm.
China has, like Peter Wagner just said, has the greatest harvest ever known through a simple Book of Acts mm-hmm. church planting movement, a rapid church planting movement. That's it. It's a rapid mm-hmm. church planting movement. The difficulty to understand is that that God has set his son over his church as the Lord of the church, and his spirit moves amongst us. Well, you can't be involved in a rapid church planting movement if you're not allowing the spirit of God to do whatever he wants to do. Let me tell you, everything applies. Our personal experiences, we begin to step out as I was a traditional pastor, founding work, even before that, worked on a staff and did all those different things. What I've never seen, even in the midst of revival that was so awesome, the things that I've seen God do. Listen, it put the fear of God in. When you start seeing Ananias and Sapphira, mm-hmm. you begin to see, Eli, you begin to see miracles, signs and wonders and provision and just so many different things. Listen, we can do it. We can trust God. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. That's exactly what our goal is. Our goal is to do exactly what Peter Wagner and Steve Hill was talking about. We have been building foundation for what? For a rapid church planting movement. It's going to be like the rapids. I mean, you think about it. This is the word the Lord gave me. And the original sense of the call was, of what we've been planning and building, is it's going to be like the rapids. And what VFN is nothing but a paddle, as this whole move of God is just flying down the river. And we just stick VFN in the water and kind of keep it off the rocks, mm-hmm. because it just happens so quick. It's like a tidal wave. Don't you want to be a part? Don't you want to be a part? I know Dr. Michael Brown said this. Listen, if you want to be a part of what God's doing, find out what he's doing and dive in. Find out more right now at vfnfamily.org. That's vfnfamily.org.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain
right.
this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation
right.
that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get
right.
people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America,
mm-hmm.
then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums yep. weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history,
mm-hmm.
our history started with next step. And it was
right.
it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive.
you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out, they came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in and died. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat and John. You know, we were just talking about this fiscal cliff that's coming up. If you missed the first part of the Extra Hour, you got to catch it. I want to just briefly say before I go into the moment of wisdom, and I'm gonna, John, you want to do the top three, is that we've talked about the Guy Fawkes. God has spoken to us about Guy Fawkes and all the Occupy Wall Street and the concept of protesting and community organizing and what was going to be taking place. And you can go to the VFN Torch and you can read some of the prophetic dreams that God's given us, some of the words, some of the programs that we had. You know, it's Guy Fawkes, F-A-W-K-E-S. And God specifically has shown us, and we're beginning to see it already. I mean, immediately, the first thing that our president, the first people that our president met with, the very first people he met with, were the organized union, the union, the and to be able to, which is, I'm meeting with your employees, not the employers. I'm not meeting with the business owners. I'm going to meet with your employees. And it's like, shouldn't you meet with the business owners first and then meet with their employees? Unless you're looking at community organizing, you're looking at, you know, doing the things that we're seeing take place. Like, for example, we just saw through Thanksgiving that these unions came out and began to protest against Walmart. And now there's very few people in Walmart that were actually with them, but there was a union that came out saying that they were protesting Walmart because they said they wanted a bigger wage. And it's like, the reason why we shop at Walmart is because they have lower costs for products. So you don't, if you're looking for a big paycheck, you don't go get a job at a discount store. I mean, you go find, you know, go get your job, you know, with, what's on Fifth Avenue? You know, what are some of the stores on Fifth Avenue or
Coach or Louis Vuitton or something?
Yeah, get you a job, you know, like that. Where they, you know, some of the jeans. We have a segment. One of our most popular segments is, you know, buying the image of hard work.
Right.
People are paying $400. You need to work for a company that's selling jeans for $400-something, not for one that's selling them for $12 or $15.
Right.
I mean, you can't, and it's amazing that we don't put two and two together like that. Mm. But it really was the union doing this. It wasn't the Walmart workers.
Sure, they stood them up.
But what is it? It's the Guy Fawkes. It's the whole, this is what they're planning on doing. You're going to begin to see, not only are the highest income earners being taxed, now the ones who run the companies are going to be forced to pay wages that they can't afford to pay, which would cause them to hire less people and cause them to be less profitable and cause the doors for, like, Hostess, for example. They've done it to Hostess. And that it's closing its doors, and they'll begin to close the stores.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, why would this happen? First of all, you know, why does a teenager demand money from their parents? It's because the teenager that doesn't have to give it, because the teenager doesn't understand where money comes from. They don't understand how it came to pass, but they will one day, believe me, they will.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And quite often, you know, somebody says, well, if you own a business and you're rich, it's amazing that mindset is, oh, you own your company? Oh, you're rich. That could be far from the fact that you're rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one particular guy said he had like a Lamborghini and he had payrolls due. He sold his Lamborghini and to be able to pay his employees. Mm-hmm. If he said, if I would have known the future of it, I probably would have laid off all my employees and kept the Lamborghini. I mean, you'll find out when you're making payroll and you're paying taxes and you're doing these different things, it's a big responsibility to be a leader of a business. And it's going to become even bigger with all the regulations that are being placed on businesses under this new administration, under this present administration existent. And so watch for this. Watch for that whole protesting, marching against and forcing from every angle. It looks like Americans are going to be forced to do things that just bring destruction to us and taking us down. And to me, it just looks like God's humbling America, which means this. Don't try to win it politically. Let's fall to our knees and repent for our sin. Let's get back into the harvest field. Let's get back and be in the church again. Let's, you know, let's sell all of our golden goblets, you know, all of our fancy stuff, and let's just be the church again, and let God do what He does amongst us, and watch what He can do. Well, it's time for the wisdom moment. The wisdom moment today is from Proverbs 26:27. Proverbs 26:27. It reads, "If a man digs a pit, he will fall into it. If a man rolls a stone, it will roll back on him." Let me say that again. Proverbs 26:27. If a man digs a pit, he will fall into it. Mm-hmm. If a man rolls a stone, it will roll back on him. This is so important, because we don't want to get caught up in thinking that we are the one that has to bring justice. That we you know, somebody begins to set a trap up for us that, oh my goodness, you know, I got to be all worried because they're setting traps. Listen, the devil's constantly setting traps up. Mm-hmm. He's constantly using people to be able to bring us in a trap. We can't set ourselves up either to avenge ourselves or to right a wrong in the context of that. We got to let God, who we entrust our justice to that will judge the stuff justly. Remember, 1 Peter 2:23 says, when they hurl their insults at Jesus, He did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Listen, understand this proverb we're finding out. If you just hold on and realize that all this, these things that men do to try to entrap other men, eventually they will be in that trap. Listen, every controller eventually becomes controlled. Every enslaver eventually becomes enslaved. Realize that everyone, as he tells us, that if a man digs a pit, the one who's digging the pit will fall into the pit. It's totally amazing how it works. If you relax and you let God's justice work and realize also God's given them time to repent. And if they do repent, then they're not going to fall into that situation. Romans 12:20 tells us, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you are heaping burning coals on his head. And what does it mean when somebody's rolling a stone? Rolling a stone meant this. It was a boundary line. It's imagine this is a contract. Somebody's messing with the contract. Somebody's messing with your deed. Something that's been laid out in stone, and somebody's changing something in there to, some sort of clause or they're pushing your boundary lines. Or they're changing what was right to something wrong. That's what that means by rolling a stone. They realize eventually it's just going to roll back on them. It may not happen. It may not happen where you see it, but realize that and you don't want it to. You want to be merciful and be kind and be polite in the context of that, realizing that all have sinned and all fallen short of the glory of God. Like Moses, he began to pray for the ones that was persecuting him, and God, healed them and saved them. So here we are, at this point where we're seeing a lot of our stones being rolled over. We're seeing a lot of our stones being rolled over in America. Some of our constitutional stones are being rolled over. Some of our laws are being rolled over. Some of our constitutional offices are being rolled over. Marriage is being rolled over. Fathers are being rolled over. Families being rolled over. But realize if we hold in there and realize that at some point it's going to roll back on them. Mm-hmm. At some point, God's going to balance the scales. Listen, if they're digging a pit, they're going to fall into it.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Trust God. Today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 26, verse 27. If a man digs a pit, he will fall into it. If a man rolls a stone, it will be rolled back on him.
Wow. Very good. Well, I want to share with you and our VFN video listeners the top three on the VFN torch. And the first one I wanted to share, it's a great segment. It's give your ear and listen to advice. And it's a wisdom moment that we encourage the VFN video listeners and all those that are listening that, it's important. It's important to listen to advice, and the way of a fool is only interested in airing their own opinion, their own ways. And although we may or may not, be a fool per se, but we may do some foolish things. But even a wise man or a wise woman understands that they don't know everything. And that it comes to a point in life where a wise person says, I may need to have a different point of view, with many advisors, plan succeed, another proverb says. And so it's time for us to give an ear and listen to advice. And Proverbs always talks about the ways of a wise man or woman and the ways of a foolish man or woman. And what we're trying to grow in wisdom, we're trying to grow in a way that God would want us to grow. If we want to have right standing with God, we're going to listen to those who are walking in God and listen to some advice and counsel. So it's important to give an ear to that.
It's so funny to think about it. Why would anybody not want to listen to wisdom? Why would you not? Instead of the fact that they did not really have confidence in their standing, and they think if they hear something that's different, it will change their opinion.
Mm.
They're scared it will change them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, if it's right, it's right. People aren't going to change. It's going to make you... There's wisdom in the multitude of counsel will make things stronger,
right.
In your life. That's good, man. It's good.
The next one I want to share is the value of hard work. Is it still valuable? And it's, fits with what we've been talking about today. And it's just like, oh my goodness. In fact, you share a segment, a part of this segment, Greg, where you talk about how you were running an elderly facility, assisted living facility, when you were 13, 14 years old. And at that young age, you were able to develop and learn and know what hard work was all about. And we're living in society today where a lot of young people, they just don't know the value of hard work. When you're taking the same time and the effort to go do an Occupy Wall Street, sitting 8 and 10 hours a day picketing a sign, those 8 or 10 hours you can invest doing something else productive, like working.
You know, it was pretty cool. You know, I would work, you know, and at the end of the week, I would get paid. It was a great concept.
Wow.
Yeah, I would ride the city bus. I would catch a bus from school. And they had the bus routes, if you ever rode buses, they never go exactly where you want them to go. You always have to go to the exchange where they have to get, they all meet in one place, and then you got to pick the other bus that takes you to the place you're going to go to. Mm-hmm. And I would go downtown and switch my buses and go to work. And I would work, you know, for the rest of the day. And, of course, the summer times I would work as well. But I was taking care of about 40 different elderly residents, and from shopping, and we'd go and have, like, 10 buggies worth of groceries and help them out with the day. It's like having a whole bunch of grandmothers and grandfathers. It was wonderful. But yeah, it was work. You know, it was definite work, but I've always enjoyed, you know, being productive. It's actually, you know, that's Proverbs talks about, and it talks in Ecclesiastes talks about that if you want to have peaceful rest, you know, work hard.
Yeah. I remember as you know, a young boy myself in middle school and high school, getting up at 5:30 in the morning, and that's when actually boys and girls actually deliver the newspaper. Now, you know, that's a job that adults do. But back then, people, you know, young kids would deliver the newspaper, go to school all day, and then afterwards work, you know, at a mall, at a retail store. And it was that hard work that, you know, I purchased my first car and all those different things like that. But
was that the same first car that I knew the first car?
No,
that car?
No.
That wasn't your first.
That wasn't affectionately. That was affectionately called the Blue Goose. Miguel called that the Blue Goose. Thanks, Miguel. But I actually had a blue Nissan. No, the very first car was the Mazda 626, and I actually bought that with my hard-earned dollars.
Mine was a Chevrolet Malibu. To save money on this car, they actually, instead of putting a muffler in the back, they used the air conditioner vent as a muffler. I would just breathe the exhaust. You know, I'm watching movies where people are killing themselves by pulling their car in the garage, and here I am, my exhaust is blowing right in my face, right? What's the new cologne you're wearing, Greg? Oh, it's exhaust.
Carbon monoxide.
It smells so authentic. Yeah. Well, like I got the 626 Mazda, by the way, because it looked like a Jaguar. You know, my dad said, "Son, there's no air conditioning in that car. You live in Florida. You know, right. I'm 17.
Right.
Oh, I don't care.
It looks so cool. Until I was sweating and peeling in the car everywhere I went.
Yeah.
That's why we have wisdom. But we're talking about the value of hard work. Is it still valuable? And how we need to continue to share, you know, with our children and with everyone, really, that, listen, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. And it's a way, our work is a way on how we actually honor God and we glorify God by how we work. The third one, the last one I want to talk about today is You Caught His Eye. And that was an awesome, awesome segment. Very, very encouraging that, you know, God loves you. God loves you. And instead of having, you know, a perspective sometimes that God's looking at you and maybe you're in trouble, no, God's looking at you because he loves you. He's catching you in the act of doing great and amazing things. And every time that you choose to serve him, every time you choose to do something in a way that you're reaching out to him, he saw that. You caught his eye.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.